Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Our text for this morning's meditation is found in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, beginning with the 25th verse. Therefore, laying aside all falsehood, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. Let him who steals no longer steal, but rather let him labor, performing with his hands what is good, in order that he may have something to share with him who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. Dear friends in Christ, just before Ash Wednesday, you heard about the Mardi Gras and how various nations and places celebrated the coming of Lent. Just after Ash Wednesday, we had our own celebration where people became very alive with various things around the campus, various words and various sayings and various accusations and various feelings between faculty, student, and all of the above. There were meetings, there were talks, and there probably still are talks. Rather than to say that that was our Mardi Gras, to welcome in Lent, rather than say it's a celebration that we like, which I don't think we do, I'd like to turn a little bit more to something behind the things that we have to endure, to God's Word, and look at what the Apostle is getting at when he talks about a little bit of subtle suffering there. And he's in a not too good situation himself, but yet says there are things we should do that should glorify God. And one thing he really lays on us very, very strongly, be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Can we do that? And when I say that, I must first confess to you that I don't do this all the time. Sometimes I like to stay angry. Sometimes I find it preferential. I can tell you off much better in anger than I can if I'm happy. Sometimes I have a red pencil just set aside for students to say, I've got the red pencil. Remember that. I had confessed to my sin. I don't glorify it. I don't enjoy the after effects of a red pencil. I went to the bookstore and noticed you can buy them too. Doesn't give me any power. Sometimes I like to be abrasive. Sometimes I like to just simply tell off the whole world, whoever happens to get in my way catches it. If you happen to be there, you're it. And sometimes in going to bed, I can pray God in a very righteous way, Lord, I have to be angry at that one. That was a pit, and even you know that. That was really gross, and I don't want to turn it loose. But God in His grace does something to me, and I think He does to you too. Despite our sometimes stubbornness, He still penetrates us with His Word and says, now, you're hurting yourself. If you're going to go the angry route, you can't go the gospel route. If you're going to go the angry route, all you do is build a big wall against the grace I want you to love and I want you to have and to experience. If you want to block yourselves away from that which I have made known to you, that which I can give you a great hope in to let you know, I walk with you all the way. And no matter what happens, no matter what difficulty you're suffering right now, I am with you. I like that hymn we just got to do, and I challenge you to read it again and sing it again. But if we can't sing it here in chapel, go to wherever you have to go afterwards, read that hymn carefully, and reflect on one thing. We're saying we are Christ-centered. We're saying we look to the cross and we follow Jesus Christ. What was his life like? Where were the bed of roses? Where were the accolades and the platitudes? Besides the Sunday we call Palm Sunday, where was all the praise for Jesus and all that he did? As we read the gospel, we don't see that. We see a lot about pushed around, about to be stoned, called Beelzebub, all kinds of things like that. And we say, yes, we are followers of Christ. But does that also mean that if we are followers of Christ, we have to put up with what Christ did too, even things that we don't like? Now, that doesn't justify people taking advantage of us, okay? Not saying that. But when it happens, do we realize that Christ is still with us and there is a way out of it? Do we realize that we don't have to grieve the Holy Spirit of God by taking things in our own hands and say, we'll do it our way? God has a way too for all of us. Because there's one common denominator from faculty, students, and wives, and a whole bunch of us, and that is, on the one hand, we're sinners, on the other hand, we're forgiven sinners. No one, in my estimation, can accurately deny this. So there's no hierarchy of one being better than another. In Christ, equal. No matter who it is, equal. Paul gets on to that, and he mentions a few words here. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word that is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. That's a hard one for me. I guess what he's trying to tell me is I should speak not only the truth in love, but I should speak those words that build up people and not put them down. I like to skip that verse often, but it doesn't go away because I skip it. It's still there. It still says to me, if I am hurt, if I am abused, I am still called by my Lord Jesus Christ to speak the truth in love. It doesn't say I can't speak to things I don't like. Don't get me wrong on that either. But it says, speak in such a way that builds up and not tear down. I am not called to tear down. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Rather than go into all of that, when I do get one vibe real quick there, and that is, we have the Holy Spirit of God. He has called us and made us his very own. Having done so, I guess I flash over to one of Paul's epistles in Corinthians where he says, all things are yours. And he goes on to say, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and he dwells in us. And I guess the message I get when he says, and grieve not that Holy Spirit, don't make such a mess of the household. And how do you make a mess of the household? By bringing in things that don't belong there. The anger, the malice, the slander, the whole bit that really belongs to the old life and not to the new. It doesn't mean we're going to be free of it, but we can control them. And no one's exempt. I noticed something very phenomenal about this Bible. It must be a new version. It doesn't separate faculty from students. Puts them all in the same bag. It says, you, saints, believers. It doesn't believe in a kind of a stepwise thing. It says, if you love Christ, this is where you're going to go. Pondering on Jesus, thinking about his suffering, doesn't mean we have to be masochistic and go out and look for suffering and say, hit me for the sake of Christ, hit me. Christ didn't say that either. But when something happens, he does say, hey, look out now. Don't think it unusual when your life is a little bit turbulent and things bounce you around. Because if the world hated me, it will hate you also. Think on the cross that how many thought, we finally got them. We got them stretched out up there, and that's the end of that. We've got them. Even Satan himself could have said, ha ha, I won. That was a foolish statement. And people will bounce us around, either personally or collectively, the whole seminary can be made a target. But even so, we have a power of God that's more powerful than any force that wishes to make us ridiculous or to ridicule us or to make us foolish. We have a great power. That's in Jesus Christ. Do we have to be afraid of one another, of administrators, teachers, and students? And least of all, someone, perhaps as one student told me, I'm going to mail a little thing to my congregation and let them know how bad this campus is. Do we have to be told all that? They can make up things about the campus without having any mail. Don't need printed stuff. But can we be faithful to our calling in Christ and deal with things without grieving God's Spirit, and deal with things as Christians, deal with things one with another, holding high the banner of Christ and not the banner of vengeance? As I speak, I don't want you to get any impression that I am being up here and you down there, or I say you are the bad guys, I am the good guys. Please don't get that impression. As I speak, I only feel one thing. I feel a little bit sensitive, being a graduate of Springfield Seminary, which this formerly was, and knowing how we had a nice situation going, that there's such turbulence, I'm not used to that. And maybe some can say, you hide too often, you don't come out among us, you don't know what's going on. Be that as it may, I speak for my own sensitivity, not trying to convict you. I do speak, and I want to share God's word, hoping that we all can pull it together, can get on the right path no matter what the issue is, can still see Christ as a focal point, can still see Christ as the way to go, and let every other thing that does not glorify him fall by the wayside. As Paul puts it finally, that all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. And then what does he say? And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. We're celebrating that just all year long, particularly in Lent. Christ went to the cross to forgive us. Let's celebrate it practically speaking too, how we deal with one another. I don't know how I managed to get chapel always doing final exam week, but sometimes it happens that way, and I find myself saying the same thing to you. Sometimes when you come out on an exam, you think that maybe you need a lot of forgiveness, and you wonder whether God is for you. If you ever have that feeling, go back to your Word of God and read carefully. If God be for us, who can be against us? Who is more powerful, the seminary, the profs, or Christ? This seminary and its faculty and the students included are called to witness to Christ. That's what it's all about. Keep that in mind even when it hurts, and we all can glorify his name appropriately. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.